Well, this Thursday at 4:50 p.m., what happened? Come on. Summer started. Summer began this Thursday at 4:50 p.m., which got us all into, and of course it was really hot on that day, got us all in the mood for travel, maybe beach days, maybe barbecues, and so on and so forth. I thought it would be a little sunnier today as I began this summer series. But I want us, over the next number of weeks, we're going to do a look at what I call the Songs of Summer. It's not a series as such, but it is. We're going to look at some of these songs over the next few weeks. How many of you have a summer playlist? How many know what a playlist is? Now, for those of you in my generation, you may think back to the cassette. Remember, someone put all your favorite songs on a cassette, and you had that cassette, and when you got in your car, you popped it in the cassette player, and you had all your favorite songs. Maybe some of you remember the CDs that we burned with your favorite songs on them. Well, now we have playlists, which you can have on your phone, and there can be hundreds of songs, or I guess the list is endless. People have different playlists for different occasions. Some of you put up your hand, you say you have a summer playlist. So maybe it's the summer of 69 or some of your favorite songs that put you in the mood for summer. I did a wedding a few weeks ago, and the bride had a wedding playlist. It was songs that were appropriate for a wedding. Probably not the same songs that some of the guys would have in November at the hunt camp. That would be a different playlist. A lot of country music in that one. Songs, playlists will vary according to personality, according to season maybe. Christmas playlist, the summer playlist. Did you know that the original playlist is found in the Bible? Back before iPhones, back before CDs, back before cassettes, even before 8-tracks. The original playlist is found in the Bible, in what we call the Book of Psalms. The Book of Psalms is really a compilation, a playlist of 150 songs or hymns or poems that were put to music and were meant to be sung. The psalm, the word psalm, literally means a song sung to the accompaniment of a musical instrument. And so we're going to do a playlist of sorts over the summer. We're going to look at some of these songs of summer. Some of them that talk about the goodness of God's creation, the beauty of His creation. Some of these songs will talk about other things, about worship. Some of them even talk about evil and justice. And so over the summer, we're going to look at these songs because I know that some of you are going to be away, and so I hesitate to get into a series and a book on the Bible that you kind of need to be here as often as you can because some of you will travel and we'll have visitors. And so my prayer over the summer as we look at some of these songs or these psalms is that just like a good song, at least one of them or even a verse will kind of get stuck in your head. And it will help you. Maybe a season that you're dealing with. Maybe a circumstance that you're facing. That one of these songs of summer will just kind of get into your mind and into your heart more especially. And you will kind of sing it sort of over the summer. And it'll remind you of God's faithfulness to you. These songs were written hundreds of years before Christ. So for those of you that like old songs, hey, these are as old as you're going to find. But we're going to continue. But these psalms, every one of them, though they were written thousands of years ago, are relevant to modern life and to the various emotions and experiences that we have to deal with today. One author said this, the psalms are meant to be read with the heart, not just the head. They're meant to be read with the heart and not just the head. So they're not like one of Paul's letters that I have led you through. We're not presenting a doctrine. We're not presenting something that needs to be defended or an example that we are to follow. As we look at these psalms and their themes, as I said, of worship and creation and beauty and justice, these psalms hopefully will invite us into that communion with God, where we experience God's presence. And maybe you're excited about this summer, maybe you're not. But as we look at some of these psalms over the next few weeks, let them get into your heart. So the first one we're going to look at this morning is Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And let's read it. I'm going to read it for you. The psalmist said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going for both now and forevermore. Now, this is not an English lesson, but we need to know that punctuation is important. Punctuation is important. Look at this one. What do you read there? I think the message is supposed to have a comma after crocodiles. I think the message is a warning. Crocodiles, period, maybe. Do not swim here. But it says, crocodiles do not swim here. And so if crocodiles don't swim there, then it should be safe, right? But not if it's a warning. Next one. Jane enjoys cooking her family and her dog. Maybe Jane enjoys cooking, comma, her family, comma, and her dog. And so whoever put that meme said, use a comma, save a life. And here's one. Don't leave the comma to this one. When you're trying to write to someone and apologizing, and you want to say, I'm sorry, I love you, make sure you keep the comma in there. Don't say, I'm sorry, I love you. That's a whole different thing. So punctuation is important. Now, depending which translation or which version of Scripture you are reading this morning in the 121st Psalm, you might get a different idea of what the psalmist is actually saying here. The King James Version of Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, period. And it almost sounds like the psalmist is looking to the hills and saying, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills, that's where my help comes from. And maybe he's looking at the grandeur and drawing some strength, but in actual fact, the punctuation there is supposed to be a question mark and not a period. The psalmist is not making a statement that I will look up unto the hills because that's where my help comes from. The psalmist is looking at the hills and he's asking himself the question, which we'll flesh out in a few moments, where does my help come from? The NIV is a little more accurate in this case. The NIV that we read this morning says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? The Message paraphrase also does a good treatment of this verse. The psalmist says, does my help come from the mountains? He goes on and says, no, my help comes from God who made heaven and earth and the mountains. You see, our help does not come from the hills. Our help does not come from mountains. This verse is a question. It's not a statement. And it's a constant reminder to us to never find strength, to never look for help, or to never look for hope, to never look for fulfillment in anything that's created, even nature. And I love nature. This past week, we had the first opportunity of the year to take our kayaks out, and we left from Petawawa Point and kayaked over to the Quebec side, and it was an absolutely gorgeous afternoon. The water was just like a mirror. It was beautiful, and the trees were so green and fresh, and we just looked around, and I breathed in the air and the relaxation that it felt, but my help does not come from any of that. My help comes from the one who created all of that. And that's what the psalmist was trying to get at in this psalm. Notice the heading. I don't know if it's not on the screen, but in your Bible, if you're open to Psalm number 120, you'll probably notice at the top that it says a song of ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. These were songs that the people sang as they were on their spiritual journeys. Several times throughout the year, three times in particular, the people would go to Jerusalem. They would journey up to Jerusalem. And as they went to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs. And in the book of Psalms from 120 to 134, there's 15 of these that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And as they went to Jerusalem, as they ascended up to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs as they went to Passover, as they went to the Feast of Pentecost, as they went to the celebration of tabernacles and so on. They would sing these psalms as they made their way to Jerusalem. There's 15 of them. I can't verify this, but one commentator said that these 15 songs correspond to 15 steps at the temple. And so as the people arrived to Jerusalem to worship and they got to the temple, there were 15 steps. And they would sing a song on each step. And then they get to the next step and they would sing again and they would sing again. And they would sing their way sort of into the temple, which for them was the presence of God. These were known as the pilgrim psalms. The people on their pilgrimage would sing them. And every one of us here this morning are on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey. We're heading somewhere that God is leading us to. And there are points along the way where we need to be reminded of things. And these psalms serve as a good reminder. If you take the time to read them maybe over the summer, just take time and read through some of the psalms. If you want to take time to read those 15 over the next couple of weeks, just take one a day. Psalm 120 begins with this expression of distress where the psalmist says, I call on the Lord in my distress. We talked about songs of lament recently, how there's a place for us to call upon God and in our distress or in our discouragement to call out to Him. And then as they continue, we see how God brings light into their path. And so this psalm, this verse, it's not a declaration of strength. It's actually a cry of help. As the psalmist is looking at the mountains, and I'll talk to you in a second about what those mountains may represent. As he looked at these mountains, he said, where do I get my help? He recognizes that his help does not come from the mountains. And so he's asking himself that question, where do I find help? You see, in those days, as people would travel, the mountains would not necessarily represent strength. In fact, the mountains would sometimes represent danger. Familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan? The Bible tells the story, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, how he is on his way from Jerusalem, and as he's traveling, remember, he was attacked by robbers and thieves, and then the priest came by, the Levite, and they didn't help him. And finally, this Samaritan man who shouldn't have helped him, he came by and helped him. Well, the fact of the matter is that this person who was on the journey got attacked in those very same mountains. Because the mountains were high and the roads were narrow, it was a prime spot for robbers and thieves. And they would wait for weary travelers to come, and then they would pounce on them, and they would rob them and beat them, as in the story of the Good Samaritan. And so the psalmist, as he's writing this, he's on his way to Jerusalem. There are mountains. There's narrow passages through, and there are dangers. And so as he's looking up to the hills, he's saying, where do I get my help? How do I stay protected in the midst of dangers? And he comes to the conclusion, he sort of talks to himself, and he answers his own question. Now, I know people that talk to me sometimes, they ask me a question, and before I get a chance to answer them, they answer their own question. And I feel like, well, why did you ask me? But sometimes it's good to talk to ourselves if we know the right answer. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where do I get my help? And then he answers his own question. He says, my help comes from the one who made these mountains. And he draws strength and he draws confidence in that. The psalmist is not finding help in the hills, but rather he's looking for help because of them. And you know, as I took some time this week to think about this passage of Scripture, I thought that that psalmist who wrote this, he experienced something that we all experience quite often. And for want of a better phrase, I call it anticipation mixed with anxiety. Have you ever had that experience? You know, the psalmist is on his way to Jerusalem. They're going to a festival, probably. They're going to a celebration. There's anticipation. There's excitement. We're going up to the temple. We're going to the city. We're going to Jerusalem. But then there's this anxiety. What about if I get robbed? What about if we get attacked? And I think everyone here this morning and everyone that's listening can relate to that feeling. Either maybe you're experiencing it now or you can relate to a time when you experienced that anticipation mixed with anxiety. Some of you parents had it here this morning as you watched your kids. As they came forward here this morning and celebrated a milestone, you are anticipating such great things for their future, but there's anxiety about what the future holds for them. And so we've all found ourselves in that situation, a child starting school, someone going off to college, maybe a new job. There's that anticipation, but there's the anxiety of maybe a marriage. There's the anticipation, but there's also the anxiety because you've never been there before. And we're all pilgrims. And yes, we do know that the Psalms point ahead to us and remind us of things to come as well, that we are eventually on our way to the new Jerusalem where we're going to spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. And that's exciting, and there should be an anticipation in our lives that every day I live takes me one day closer to eternity in the presence of Jesus. But there's also the anxiety that comes along the way. And so we ask ourselves the question, in the midst of danger, in the midst of temptations, in the midst of an enemy that will try to destroy us, in the midst of thieves that will want to rob our peace and our joy, in the midst of all these things, we ask ourselves the question, where do I get my help? But then we can answer it this morning from this same psalm. My help comes from the Lord. And so this morning, if you're seeking help in any other place. Yes, the mountains also provided some material resources. Remember the Clampets in Beverly Hills? There's oil in them there hills. The mountains provide some good things, but that's not where our hope or our help comes from. Our help doesn't come from our career. It serves us well, hopefully. Our help doesn't come from our investments, and hopefully they serve us well as well. Our help and our hope doesn't come from our family as much as we love them. It doesn't come from religion. The other thing that would have been very noticeable in the hills outside of Jerusalem would have been many monuments or temples to various gods. There would have been temples to all sorts of gods, all sorts of statues and temples erected to worship all these various gods. And so maybe the psalmist was kind of looking in the mountains and he was seeing a temple to this god, and a temple to that god, and a temple to this god. And he was seeing all the things that people are putting their trust in. And he says, I look up to the mountains, but where do I get my help? And he knows that his help doesn't come from any man-made god, or any man-made authority, or man-made organization, or man-made religion. Our help doesn't come from our religion. Our help doesn't come from our denomination. Our help comes from the Lord. And while many people are looking to personalities, our help comes from the Lord. And then he kind of starts to remind himself of something. You can see his tune sort of changing. You can see his spirit sort of lifting. He starts, where does my help come from? Where do I get my help? Then he says, my help comes from the Lord. And he starts to remind himself of who this God is that he serves. He says, he's the one who made all of this. And so the next time you have a bad day and you're wondering, where do I get my help? Just take a moment to look around. Your help doesn't come from all that you see, but your help comes from the person who made it all. And he is your God. He says, he will not let my foot slip, even in those dangerous journeys. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he will not slumber or sleep. He's our guardian. We have someone who watches over us. I may have told you this story before. I've been here now long enough that I may be starting to repeat my stories. But a story is told that back in World War II, when the Germans were bombing London, heavy attacks all night, every night. After one night and a terrible attack and many casualties, the authorities started to look through the rubble to try to find people who were injured or recover those that had been killed. And after a while searching on a list that they had in a certain section of town, everyone had been accounted for except one old lady that they could not find. And they searched everywhere, thinking she went somewhere to take shelter for sure. Eventually, they went to her apartment, and they found her sound asleep in her bed. And they were shocked, and they said, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping around you? She said, I read in my Bible that he who keeps Israel never slumbers or sleeps. I didn't think there was any point in both of us staying up. So she said, I went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands. Imagine if we could do that on those sleepless nights. You know those sleepless nights, don't you? You know those nights when your body doesn't sleep, your mind doesn't sleep, and even if your body starts to sleep, your mind just doesn't shut down at all. You know those nights. You've had them. I've had them. But imagine if we could have that kind of faith. Well, God is not asleep, so there's no point in both of us staying awake. He who watches over Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. And so these songs became the confessions. They became the songs they sing, just like we sang songs here this morning. They would sing these songs. I don't know what the tune would be, and I'm not going to attempt to sing it. But they would sing these. I lift up my eyes from unto the hills. And then in verse number 3, as they began to sing that became sort of a personal conviction. It became their confession of faith. The one who watches over Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. And as they begin to sing that, it begins to help them. You see, here's something I want you to get from this message this morning as well. Corporate confession leads to personal conviction. When we sing these songs that we sing here even in church, when we repeat the words of Scripture, when we make these corporate confessions of faith, and as the people of Israel began to sing these songs, they became not only creeds for them, they became personal convictions. And what we need today more than anything else is the personal conviction that not only is God's, that we read what God says in His Word, but we're personally convicted that He is who He says He is in His Word. And that's why we teach our children. That's why the kids are gone downstairs this morning, and Pastor Danette is teaching them about the importance of friends and being a friend with God, and a twofold and a threefold cord is stronger than an individual, because there's going to be days when those kids are going to need to know that. And so the personal, or rather the corporate confession, becomes a personal conviction. And then the psalmist was able to take what he was experiencing then, and he was able to look at it into the future. And he says, the Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And so that experience of reminding himself who it is that created these beautiful mountains, who it is that protects him, this reflection upon who God is leads him to the personal confidence that my future is secure in His hands. And he declares it with confidence. And so this morning, as you embark upon a summer season, as you embark upon another section of your journey that you don't know what's around the next corner, maybe this is the song that's going to get stuck in your head on your playlist. my help comes from the Lord. You're driving to work on Monday morning, and you know you got to face that difficult situation or that difficult person. Just let the words, my help comes from the Lord. Or you're sending a child off to college for the first time, and I don't know how I'm going to handle that. My help, their help comes from the Lord. Or you're facing something that none of us want to face, either in our families or in our health. My help comes from the Lord. And so, the first song on our playlist, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege to gather here in your presence with our church family. Lord, the privilege to worship you, the privilege to celebrate this day with our students, the privilege to open your word, Lord, and to hear that a song that was written thousands of years ago in a different country, in a different group of people, Lord, under different circumstances totally, are still relevant for our journey today. Lord, we are all on a journey. We're all pilgrims. And Lord, along that journey, there are dangers. Along that journey, there are temptations to find our help in something else. Another God that we can trust in. Another promotion that we can trust in. More money that we can trust in. A friend that we can trust in. But Lord, remind us that our help does not come from any of that. Our help comes from the Lord. So Lord, we put our trust in you.